بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our 44th session reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mubin, Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen, في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, explanation of the 50 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi and Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah, and with the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Alama, Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. Tonight the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 39 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. Before we look at that hadith, I want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed in the previous session from the question and study guide for the previous lecture, that is lecture number 43. The first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 38, yani from last week's study guide. The main topic or subject of hadith number 38. Fadl.
Now, those who perform the obligatory acts along with the voluntary acts that Allah has prescribed for his slaves are a means to gaining the love of Allah that comes with not only the love but Allah's support, his guidance and his protection.
From the greatest of means of achieving the love of Allah is fulfilling obligatory duties in addition to voluntary righteous deeds. Naam. Any other topic? Any from the core of the topic from last week? Any other point? Yeah, tafadhal. Okay, I mean, that's part of it, no doubt. Yani a person has to avoid the haram. But the core topic of the hadith last week, now.
The people who are the believers of Allah are people who have iman and who have taqwa.
Okay, the awliya of Allah. Yani the core topic was the awliya of Allah. Yani the awliya of Allah, the people of iman and taqwa, the excellence and virtue and superiority of the awliya of Allah. Yani, and the means, as Paul mentioned, the means of achieving that position and the love of Allah. The second question, who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection it is found? Who is the rawi, the narrator, and the collection in which it is found? Naam, Talib.
Naam, Abu Hurairah.
Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, and the collection in which this hadith was reported?
Sahih Bukhari.
The Sahih of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Question number three, how has the author defined who the awliya of Allah are, and what is the evidence for this definition? How has the author defined the awliya of Allah? How has he defined it? Naam, Wali, Abdul Wali.
The people of iman and taqwa.
The people of iman and taqwa. And what is the proof for this definition? Somebody else. What is the proof for this definition? Naam.
Allah's words, Alladina aminu
bukhari. Yeah. Yani that Allah mentions in the Quran about the awliya of Allah that they are those who believed, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and they used to observe التَّقْوَى, the people of iman and the people of taqwa. That's how Allah describes them in the Quran. Question number four, how has the author explained the meaning and significance of the words آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, yani the person who has enmity for the awliya of Allah, Allah says آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. What is the meaning of this statement and what is its significance? Naam. Fadl, Zaki. Okay, then to Allah is announcing war with that person. Naam. And what is the significance of this kind of statement? And what does it indicate to us? As the Shaykh mentions in his explanation of these particular words. And he said that this indicates or points to what? The danger of having enmity towards the awliya of Allah, that you will be at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And also he said that it also indicates what? That doing so is from the kabair. Yani being at odds, at war, having enmity towards, or trying to harm the awliya of Allah is from the kabair. Question number five, how is the walaya, the love, aid, and support of Allah achieved? How is it achieved? Abdul Wali.
Through
by doing that which is obligatory and staying away from the haram, and by doing the lawful consistently.
Okay, by doing the obligatory duties and staying away from the haram, meaning doing those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. He has made obligatory upon us certain duties that we have to do, and He has also made it obligatory upon us to avoid things that He made haram. All of that is what Allah has made obligatory upon us. In addition to a person constantly, consistently being engaged in doing extra voluntary good deeds above and beyond after the completion of the obligatory deeds. Now, question number 6, how has the author described the muqtasid, and how has he described as-sabit bil khayrat, as is mentioned in the Quran in the 35th surah and 32nd ayat? How has he described the muqtasid first?
The one who's taken the middle course,
meaning that they suffice with fulfilling the obligatory duties and avoiding the things that are haram. And the sabiq, as-sabiq bil khayrat, he described them as what? Naam? One who exceeds what? Fulfilling the extra, doing more. The sabiq bil khayrat are those people who fulfill the obligatory duties and they avoided the haram, but they went above and beyond that. They also abstain from the things that are makruh. And they also did extra things that are not obligatory, but they are mustahab. They are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of the scholars even said that they avoided some things that are permissible, in order to stay away from to protect themselves from that which is haram. Question number 7, how has the author defined an-nawafil? And what will a person achieve by continually doing an-nawafil? Then first, how has he described the nawafil? Zeki.
Extra.
Doing righteous deeds that are extra, above and beyond that which is obligatory. And the second part of the question, what will a person achieve by continually doing the nawafil?
They will become the wali of Allah.
The immediate words that came in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will continually get near to me by doing the nawafil until I love them. When Allah loves a person, then to the end of the narration. Now, what is important here is that on this particular point, to re-emphasize the point, and that is that a person, in order to get near to Allah, they have to start with the most beloved thing due to which a person gets near to Allah, and that is fulfilling the obligatory duties. That includes doing what He has commanded us with and avoiding what He has prohibited us from. And then a person continues to get near to Allah by doing extra voluntary righteous deeds until, if they continue doing so, they earn the love of Allah. And when they do so, Allah takes care of their affair. Question number 8, what are some of the magnificent benefits received by the one who earns the mahabba of Allah? Naam. Okay, Allah honors that person by answering their dua. If they call on Him, He said He will definitely answer them. Now,
He will grant refuge and protection.
Okay. That was what you were going to say?
Yeah, but...
And if they seek refuge in Allah from something that they fear, Allah will protect them. Now, fadl. Allah will be that person's hearing with which they hear and their sight with which they see and their hand with which they grasp, give or take, and their feet with which they walk. And the meaning of this, I don't know if that's a question, that's not a question. What is the meaning of Allah is their hearing which they hear, and their sight which they see, and their hands, what does that actually mean? Naam. Fadl.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them and doing things that pleasing to Him, that they'll hear the things that are pleasing to Allah, speak the things that are pleasing to Allah, look at the things that are pleasing to Allah.
Naam.
And on.
It doesn't mean that Allah becomes a part of them, rather it means that Allah will guide them, He will direct them. In whatever they do, what they look at, what they listen to, and so on, will only be that which is pleasing to Allah, that which is in obedience to Allah, that which would benefit them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't think the Shaykh said that, but in any case, the point is taken, that in other words, they will only do those things that are in accordance with the truth, in accordance with what is pleasing to Allah. Naam. Question number 9. I mentioned 5 of the 9 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. 5 of them. 1. Abdul Wali.
The clarification of the fadl of Allah, the uliyat of Allah, and the danger of having enmity towards Allah.
Clarification of the fadl, the excellence, the superiority of the awliya of Allah, the people of Iman and Taqwa, and also the danger, the severe danger of having enmity towards them, or animosity towards them, or being at war with them. Another point. 2. Naam.
That the walay is earned with the obligatory actions and the extra acts of worship.
That a person earns, achieves, attains the walaya of Allah by doing the obligatory duties, and then by following them with extra voluntary righteous deeds. Another point. Number 3. Naam.
The most beloved thing a person can do to get closer to Allah is by fulfilling the obligatory deeds.
This is extremely important. The most beloved thing to Allah, the thing that Allah loves most, due to which a person get near to Him, is by doing the obligatory duties. By doing the things that He has made obligatory upon us. Naam. 4.
The confirmation of the sifat of love.
The confirmation, naam. Of the sifa, yani the characteristic, quality, the description of Allah with love, that Allah loves. This is yani one of the sifat of Allah. Naam.
Allah loves some good deeds more than other good deeds.
Yani the fact that Allah loves some deeds more than others. Yani that Allah's love for good deeds is not the same for every deed. They are not all the same. Naam. Any other important points that he mentioned? Any one or two more? That a person what?
Loves doing the
lawful, obtains the love of Allah. Yani, I didn't hear the first word that you said.
A person.
Uh-huh.
Doing the extra.
Oh, doing. The nawaful. Uh-huh. Earns the love of Allah. Naam. By doing the nawaful, a person earns the love of Allah. They get nearer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the points that we mentioned last week. And tonight, bi'idhin Allah ta'ala, we're going to look at the next hadith, hadith number 39 from the hadith, 40 hadith of Al-Imam An-Nawawi. On the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, that is Abdullah Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qala, Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati al khata wal nisyana wa mastukrihu alayhi. Hadithun hasanun rawahu Ibn Majah, wal Bayhaqi, wa ghayruhuma. Yani that the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed Allah has looked over, has passed over, has pardoned for me, yani for him, for the Prophet, yani for his sake. He has pardoned from my ummah al-khata, yani that which they did mistakenly, yani by mistake, not intentionally. Wal nisyan, and that which they did, yani the sin or the act of disobedience or the thing that a person did due to forgetfulness. Yani because they forgot. وَمَسْتُقْرِوا عَلَيْهِ And that which a person did due to being compelled, coerced, yani forced against their will, not doing it willingly. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons, He overlooks for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deeds which a person did in disobedience to Allah, but they did it because of what? Yani because they made a mistake. They didn't know. Or they forgot. Or they were compelled. The Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And he has given, once again, a very brief any commentary or explanation of this particular hadith. And so we'll also look at some of the commentary of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him, who actually also gave somewhat brief explanation of this hadith. And so, yani, if Allah allows, then we're going to try also to mention some of the benefits that came from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he mentions, under the benefits of this hadith, he mentions yani, a lot of examples of what this hadith is talking about, which I think is really important in clarifying yani, what this hadith is actually about, examples, so that we can see exactly what's being said here. So we're going to start by mentioning first, from the commentary of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, page 130 from the Arabic text, hadith number 39, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله تجاوز لي an ummati, that Allah has overlooked or pardoned for me, yani certain things that the people of my ummah have done. In this hadith, it is mentioned that Allah will pardon an ummati, pardon from my ummah. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, hafidhullah, mentions, has some discussion concerning the word ummah in this hadith. And he says that ummatu nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ummatan. And that the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are two. Ummatu da'wa wa ummatu al-ijaba. So there's the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ummat al-da'wa, and there's also ummat al-ijaba. And then he explains what each of these represent and which one of them is intended here. And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam either can refer to ummat al-da'wa or it may refer to ummat al-ijaba. He says, فَأُمَّةُ الدَّعْوَى هُمْ كُلُّ إِنْسِي وَجِنِّي مِنْ هِنَا بِعْثَتِهِ إِلَى قِيَامَ السَّاعَةِ. And the ummah to da'wah means every human being and every jinn from the time that he was missioned up until the day of resurrection, qiyamah tisa'ah. Yani every human being and every jinn that's in the earth from the time of his missioning up until yawmul qiyamah is considered to be part of his ummah, the ummah of da'wah. Yani the people that he was sent to call. As for ummat al-ijaba, هم الذين وفقهم الله للدخول في دينه الحنيف وصاروا من المسلمين. As far as Ummat al-Ijaba, he said they are those whom Allah has given success to entering into his deen. And then they became, and so they became Muslims. Yani Ummat al-Da'wah means the ummah that the Prophet ﷺ, the people that he has been sent to call, to give da'wah to. That's everybody in the earth from the time he was missioned until Yawm al-Qiyamah. As far as Ummat al-Ijaba, it means the people who ajaba, who responded to his invitation. They accepted it. Allah granted them the tawfiq to accept Islam, to accept his invitation and to be Muslims. And then the Shaykh says, وَالْمُرَادْ مِنْ al-Ummah fi هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ Ummat al-Ijaba. What is intended in this hadith by Ummah is the Ummah of Ijaba. And in this hadith, he said that Allah pardons for me my ummah, these three things. It doesn't mean the ummah of da'wah, everybody that's in the earth that he was sent to call. Rather, it means those who accepted his call, those who accepted his invitation, accepted Islam, entered the deen of Allah, and became Muslims. After this, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ أَمْثِلَةِ أُمَّةِ أُمَّةِ الدَّعْوَةِ قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِي وَلَا نَصْرَانِي ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ رواه مسلم. Yani this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, hadith number 153. Yani from examples, the Shaykh said from the examples of the use of this word ummah, referring to the ummah to da'wah, not referring to the Muslims, but rather referring to everybody that has been sent to. An example of that came in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. I swear by the one whose hand, in whose hand is my soul. لا يسمع بي أحد من هذه الأمة. No one who hears. لا يسمع بي أحد. There's no one who will hear. Yani, in the end of the hadith he says, yani that meaning that which he was sent with. No one will hear about me from this ummah. That is, whether he is a Yahudi or a Nasrani. Here the Prophet ﷺ used the word ummah to mean all of the people in the earth that he has been sent to. Even if they were a Christian or a Jew. There is no one who hears about me from this ummah. Yani ummah to da'wah, the people that have been sent to call. Even if he is a Yahudi or a Nasrani, ثم يموت, he hears about me and then he dies. وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالَّذِي أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ, and he didn't believe in that which I have been sent with. He heard about me, he heard this da'wah, and he died without believing in it. إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ, except that he would be from the people of the hellfire. except that he would be from the people of Allah. And this hadith is a clear proof. We won't have time to go into it in any detail, but it's a clear indication of the necessity, the obligation of every person to accept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it was brought by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's no excuse that a person is Ahl Kitab, Christian or Jew, and they don't have to accept this message. Rather, every person who hears about him, who knows his message and dies without believing it, will be in the hellfire, even if they are a Christian or a Jew or other than that. This is the introduction to the hadith, the Shaykh's explanation of the meaning of Ummah and the two types of Ummah, any that are attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, those who he was sent to call and those who accepted his call. And what is intended in this hadith is the Ummah al-Ijabah, the people who accepted his invitation, accepted the deen of Allah and entered Islam and became Muslims. After this, the Shaykh begins to explain the three areas in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would pardon the things that a person did in disobedience to Allah and in violation of the law of Allah. Allah would pardon it. He would overlook it for the sake of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people from his ummah. He said, "Yani al-khata wa nisyan wa mastukrihu alayhi." Yani the mistake that a person made, yani unknowingly, due to not knowing, the nisyan, forgetfulness, a person forgot, or that which they were compelled to do. He said that al-khata is fi'l ash-shay' min ghayri qasd. Yani a person did something without intending to do it. Yani they didn't intentionally do that. They made a mistake. Allah pardons this for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal nisyan an yakunu dhakiran li shay' fayansahu 'inda al-fi'l. Yani a person knows, is conscious of something, remembers something, and then at the time of doing it, they forgot. They forgot. Yani they intended to do something, and then they forgot. I just want to look at the definition that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen gave for forgetfulness. He said, "Zuhul al-qalb an shay ma'alum min qabl." Yani that a person, their heart, their consciousness, yani their awareness, they, yani, were distracted from something that they before knew. They knew it and then they forgot about it. So a person knows something but they just forgot. And if a person did something in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to forgetfulness, Allah will pardon this. He will pardon this. He will not call them to account for it. He will not punish them for it. And the third word that he mentions here is al-iqra. He said, al-ilja ala qawl al-fi'l. Yani that a person is compelled, that they are forced against their will to do something or to say something. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, will pardon this. Yani the person who is compelled to do something. Now, that a person forces somebody to do something against their will and they can't resist. They don't have the ability, yani, to resist them. So they are forced against their will to do something, not desiring or intending to do it. After this, the Shaykh also says, after defining these three words, he says, "Wal ithmu marfu'un fi hadhihi al-thalatha." Yani that the sin against a person, yani, there will be no sin against that person. Yani the sin is raised up, it's removed. There's no sin against the person in these three things. Meaning that the person, the Muslim, who committed an error, a sin, yani an act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to lack of knowledge. They didn't know, they were ignorant. So they made a mistake, or they forgot, or they were compelled. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't yani hold it against them. There's no sin against them for having done so, rather they are pardoned for such a thing. The Shaykh, he says, that there has come to us evidences in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla ala rafi dhalika. Yani that these things, that Allah has pardoned the people for these things, and he mentions three ayats from the Quran. The first of them is from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah 286 ayat, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا. That the supplication of the people of Iman saying, "Our Lord, do not call us to account," yani do not punish us, "in nasina," if we forgot, "our akhta'na," or we made a mistake. And that yani this statement, yani the Shaykh, he says here, "Qala Allahu qad fa'alt," yani akhrajahu Muslim. Yani in a hadith in Sahih Muslim that mentions the people supplicating with this supplication, and other than it, yani Allah said that He has done it. Yani He has accepted that supplication. He has responded to it. Don't call us to account if we forget to make a mistake. He said, I will not call you to account if you forget or make a mistake. Then he mentions the saying of Allah from Surah Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 5th Ayat, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَعْتُمْ بِي وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. That there's no harm against you, no sin against you concerning that which you did by mistake. أَخْطَعْتُمْ بِي. And you made a mistake. It wasn't intentional. وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Rather, what will be against you, what will you be held accountable for, is that which your hearts did intentionally. You did something intentionally, knowingly, willingly. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 106 Ayat, إِلَّا مَنْ أُقْرِهَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُتْمَعِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. Yani that whoever, yani the beginning of the ayat, whoever disbelieved in Allah after they had iman, whoever disbelieved in Allah after they had iman, then yani the punishment that is due for them, he said, illa man ukriha, except the person who has been compelled, except the person who has been compelled to do something or say something that's kufr, while their heart is at rest, is content, is satisfied with iman. Meaning, they were compelled to say this, or they were compelled to do this, to say this thing, it's a statement of kufr or action of kufr, they were compelled to do it, while in fact, the iman, yani, was in their heart, yani, it was against their will. The Shaykh said that these ayats are clear proof from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned that which a person does from forgetfulness or by mistake, or that which they did out of compulsion. And then he closes the explanation here of this hadith. And the only thing that remains are the benefits that are derived from this hadith. And he says, وَمَّا مَا أَتْلَفَهُ لِغَيْرِهِ فَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. Yani that which a person was responsible for destroying of somebody else's, yani property, what belonged to somebody else, then they are responsible for that and have to compensate for it. And if somebody destroys somebody's property by mistake, or due to forgetfulness, or under compulsion, there's no sin against them, but they have to compensate for that. They are responsible for that. It doesn't just go away. A person's property is destroyed by mistake, but nonetheless, it has to be compensated for, even though there's no sin against that person. He said this is like, yani, the person who kills someone by mistake. So it is obligatory upon that person to pay the diyah, the blood money, along with al-kafara. Yani meaning that there's no sin that they will be responsible for or punished for in Yawm al-Qiyamah, but they still have to compensate, even though that killing, yani, was unintentional. They have to compensate by giving the blood money to the family of the person who was killed, and also the kafara. Then the Shaykh says, and this is the last point that he makes, وَإِذَا أُقْرِيَ عَلَى الزِّنَا أَوْ قَتْلٍ مَعَصُومٍ فَلَا يَجُوزْ لَهُ ذَلِكَ. And if a person was compelled, was forced to commit fornication or adultery, or they kill the person that's not lawful to be killed, then it is not permissible for them to do that. And it's not permissible for a person to allow, yani, somebody to compel them, to force them to kill somebody else. You just don't have a right to do that, not even under compulsion. Because you don't have a right to kill somebody else to save your life. The Shaykh says, and that's what he says, وَلَا يَسْتَبْقِي حَيَاتَهُ بِقَتْلِ غَيْرِهِ. Yani that a person can't, yani, try to keep their own life, preserve their life, at the expense of killing someone else. After this, the Shaykh says, and he mentions two points that are derived from this hadith, we'll come back to them. I just want to read a little bit from what Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentions concerning this hadith. And also his commentary is brief, except for a discussion of some ayats related to it that are somewhat of a side point, but it is, yani, also of some significance. But we want to go to the main core of what he said here. He said, هذه بشرة للمؤمن. Yani, this is a bushra for the believer. And yani, this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ saying that the people of his ummah, for his sake, Allah will pardon that which they did, yani the sin that they committed, the act of disobedience that they committed, but by mistake, or due to forgetfulness, or out of compulsion. This is indeed a bushra, yani good news, glad tidings for the people who believe. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna Allah tajawaza li an ummati," yani afa subhanahu wa ta'ala an ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam al-khata. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon and overlook yani the mistake that was made by anyone from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course we mean by this ummatu al-ijaba, the people who have accepted his invitation and entered into Islam. If a person, a Muslim, makes a mistake, he said, إِذَا أَخْطَعَ الْمُسْلِمُ, if a Muslim makes a mistake, وَعَمِلَ مَا لَا يَلِيكَ, and he does something that's not befitting of a Muslim to do, and it's something that Islamically a person shouldn't be doing. وَكَانَ خَطَى غَيْرَ مُعَتَمِدٍ غَيْرَ مُتَعَمَّدٍ يعني, and this was actually the person did it by mistake. They didn't do it intentionally. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ, then there's no any blame against him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons that. And his statement, والنسيان, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tajawaza, pardons for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nisyan, he said if a person forgot something and they abandoned, left off an act of obedience due to forgetfulness, or they left off something due to forgetfulness, not intentionally, or they did something due to forgetfulness, not intentionally, then Allah will not call them to account for it. And this is the fadl from Allah, and ihsan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah's favor and his bounty upon the Muslims, that he doesn't punish them, though he's able to punish whoever he wills for what they have done in disobedience to him. Even if it was a mistake, even if it was due to forgetfulness, even if it was due to compulsion, he can punish whomever he wills. But this is Allah's favor and his bounty and his mercy and his goodness and kindness to the Muslims, that he pardons this for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And note in that hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ لِي عَنْ أُمَّتِي, that Allah does this for the sake of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a reminder to us of the importance of recognizing the station and status of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how much we should be praying for him. It is due to it's for his sake that Allah pardons us our mistakes and errors, and the things that we did due to forgetfulness, or that we did under compulsion. After this, the Shaykh, he says, and the saying, yani that the person who did something due to forgetfulness, Allah will not pardon them, and this is the favor and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his kindness towards the ummah. He said, however, لكن الفرد لا يسقط بالنسيان فيأتي به قضاء. However, if something was obligatory, from the obligatory duties, and here the Shaykh is making a distinction, as we probably, hopefully we'll see if we have time, yani between Allah pardoning, overlooking, yani that which is haram that a person engaged in, they did it, it's done, as opposed to that which is obligatory and they forgot to do it, or they left it off due to whatever reason, by mistake, it doesn't just go away, rather they still have to do it. Yani when they remembered, then they have to do it. When they came to know, then they have to still do it. The Shaykh is saying, what, that which is obligatory, it doesn't go away, it's not removed due to forgetfulness. فَيَأْتِ بِهِ قَضَانَ, but the person has to make it up yani later, even if it's yani after the fact. Then he says, that which the person is compelled to do, he said, الْمُقْرَى عَلَى فِعْلَ السَّيِّئَةِ, the person who is compelled to do something evil, لَا يُؤَخَذُ, Allah doesn't call him to account for it, Allah doesn't punish him for that, لِأَنَّهُ مَسْلُوب الْإِرَادَ, because he doesn't have irada, he's not doing it willingly, it's not something that he does because that's what he wants to do, rather he has no choice in the matter, he's compelled, he's coerced, he's forced. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we already mentioned, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه, whoever disbelieved in Allah after he had iman, إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان, except the person who is compelled while his heart is at rest, is at peace with iman, yani he really believes. And this is in Surah Al-Nahl, 16th Surah, 106 ayah, فإذا أكره الإنسان على فعل شر هو لم يقصده فإنه لا يؤاخذ عليه, if a person did something yani because they were compelled to do it, they did something evil but they didn't intend to do that evil, but rather they were compelled to do it, then they will not be called to account for it, and that is because it's not what they wanted to do, rather they were forced, they were compelled, and they didn't have any choice in the matter. And again the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَوْ شَاءَ لَعَذَّبَهُ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْهِ, he said, and this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed if he had willed he could have punished the person that has done and has committed a sin or act of disobedience, even though they did it out of compulsion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he could have punished them However, due to his favor upon them, he pardons and overlooks it. And then the Shaykh actually, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he mentions some ayat, and it's a lengthy discussion, and for fear of the time coming upon us, I'll just summarize the point that he's saying here. The Shaykh is saying, when the ayah, the saying of Allah was revealed, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, yani to Allah belongs what is in the heavens and the earth, وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, yani that if you show openly that which is inside of yourself, or you hide it, Allah will call you to account for it. When this ayah was revealed, this was very difficult upon the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani that Allah would call them to account for the thoughts that they had in their self or in their heart, just thinking about doing something, that a person would be called to account for that, they found that very difficult. The Shaykh says, there are very few people who can escape from this. Yani who doesn't have evil thoughts, who doesn't at least sometimes think of doing it, even if they didn't, do it. He said, very few people escape from this. فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ, so this was very difficult for them. They came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining about this. And they said, we have been called to do something لَا نُطِيق, that we can't do. Yani, that's beyond our ability. To not even think a thought of doing something wrong, they said, we don't have the ability to do it. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن تَقُولُوا كَمَا قَالَتْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا قُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا. Do you want to say what the Bani Israel said? They said, we hear and we disobey. The Prophet ﷺ is saying to his companions, what are you saying? Is it that you want to say like the Bani Israel said? They said, we hear and we disobey. He said, say. He told them, he ordered them, say, we hear and we obey. And whatever Allah has commanded you with, just say, we hear and we obey. Submit and surrender and comply. فَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So they said, we hear and we obey. فَاسْتَسْلَمُوا وَآمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. So they surrendered and they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah revealed His saying, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّمْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ. Yani, then Allah revealed the messenger. He has believed in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb. And the believers, all of them believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers, to the end of this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah that came after the first ayat and the next ayat, 82-85. Then Allah revealed after that, after they had believed and they had surrendered and they didn't show any opposition or objection to what Allah had commanded them with, then Allah revealed, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Yani that Allah will not hold any person responsible for that which they don't have the ability to bear. Yani, whatever they did of good will be for them and whatever they did of evil will be against them. And this is in the following ayat 286. So Allah made a way out for them and He abrogated that ayat that they found difficulty with the ayat that followed it. Yani stating that Allah will not call people to account for more than they have the ability to bear. And in the sequence of ayahs that came after that, it came, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَعْنَا. O Allah, do not call us to account for what we forgot or what we made a mistake, to the end of the supplications that they made that's contained in this ayat, ayat 286. Allah, قال الله قد فعلت. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in reference to their supplications, asking Him, yani not to call them to account, not to punish them for what they did due to forgetfulness or mistake and so on, He said, قد فعلت, yani I have done it, yani I have answered. Allah has answered these supplications, and this is a favor from Allah and His kindness and generosity, and therefore due to Him is the praise. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests His worshippers. And He has tested them with the first ayat. Yani the ayat that they found difficulty with. But when they surrendered and believed, then Allah, yani, made the matter easy for them. And He answered their supplications. And this indeed is the favor and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on those who believe. The Shaykh says, and this is the closing of what he says here. So the summary of this matter is that these ayat, especially the saying of Allah, yani, where Allah conveys to us that the saying of the believers, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا وَأَقْطَعْنَا, He said that this is a shahid, a witness that supports this hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah would pass over for my sake, for my ummah, that which they did by mistake or due to forgetfulness. Yani that this ayat supports and bears witness to the truthfulness of it, because they asked Allah not to call them to account for that which they did due to forgetfulness or mistake, and Allah said, He has done it. He has answered their dua. After this, the Shaykh, he repeats again that this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He doesn't call someone to account, a Muslim, for that which they did mistakenly. He doesn't call someone to account for that which they did due to forgetfulness, and He doesn't call someone to account for that which they did under compulsion. And the Shaykh says that the people before Al-Umam As-Sabiqa, they were called to account for such, and they were punished for it. They were called to account for it, and they were punished for it. But this ummah, Allah has had mercy upon them, and He has made it easy for them. Yani رَحِمَهَا اللَّهُ وَخَفَّفَ عَنْهَا. And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِأَنَّهَا أُمَّةُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Just because they are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He has lightened it, yani the burden upon them, because they are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because they are the people of iman and taslim. They are the people who have iman and who submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they don't object. Yani they don't have objection or opposition to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called upon them with. He said the Jews, they said, when they said sami'na wa asayna, we hear and we disobey, Allah made it difficult upon them. But this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they said sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey, so Allah made it easy for them, and this is the favor of Allah. And this is the end of the Shaykh's explanation, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, and it's also the end of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad's explanation, except for the two points that he mentioned as benefits from this hadith. And then after that, inshallah, we're going to mention some examples from the explanation of Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. So the two points that Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad mentions from this hadith, he says, number one, bayan sa'ati rahmatillah wa fadlihi wa ihsanihi ila ibadihi, haythu rafa'anhum al-ithma fi hadhihi al-thalatha. Yani the clarification of the vastness of the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah, and His favor, His bounty, and His kindness to His worshippers. The vastness of Allah's mercy and His kindness, such that He has removed from them the sin in these three areas. Yani the things that they did sinfully, but due to yani forgetfulness, or because of not knowing, so they made a mistake, or because they were compelled. This shows the vastness of Allah's mercy and His kindness and His generosity. The second point, رَفَى الْمُعَاخَذَ عَلَى الْخَطَى, yani that He has also removed them being called to account, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not call the Muslim to account for the mistake that they made. And perhaps we might add here, yani the thing that they did due to forgetfulness or under compulsion. But the Shaykh says, فَإِنْ كَانَ الْخَطَى فِي تَرْكَ الْوَاجِبِ فَعَلَهُ. If the mistake was in leaving off something that's obligatory, they must do it. And it doesn't just go away. There's no sin against them, but they still have to do it. They still have to come with it. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي إِتْلَافِ حَقْ لِغَيْرِهِ ضَمَنَهُ. And if, yani, the mistake that they, or what they did was, they destroyed something, yani, that was the right of another person, then they are still responsible for it. There's no sin against them, but they have to compensate for it. So if it was an obligatory matter, then the person, there's no sin on them for having abandoned it or left it, but they still have to do it. And if it was something that was the rights of the people, then they are still yani, responsible for compensation. From the benefits of this hadith, as mentioned by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he mentions several benefits, but the first benefit is similar to what we just mentioned, the vastness of the mercy of Allah and His kindness and gentleness with His worshippers by removing from them sin for that which they did that is a ma'asiyah. Yani removing the, yani against them a sin for committing an act of disobedience in these three areas. The second point the Shaykh makes, very important point, and then he mentions examples. The second point he says, Any, all of the things that Allah has made haram, whether in ibadah or other than ibadah, if a person does them due to ignorance, and they didn't know, they made a mistake because they didn't know, or due to forgetfulness, or due to being compelled, forced against their will, then there's no blame against them. فِيمَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِحَقِّ اللَّهِ, in reference to that which is from the rights of Allah. Here the Shaykh is making a distinction between there's no sin against a person for anything that they did from the things that are haram. And there's a difference, as we already noted, yani in passing, there's a difference between the things that Allah made haram and the things that Allah made obligatory. Yani if a person did something that was haram, it's done, it's finished. But if it was something obligatory that they abandoned, they still have to do it. And here he's also making a distinction between what? The rights of Allah and the rights of the people. And there's a difference between sin being removed from the person and, yani in reference to the rights of Allah, there's no blame on them at all. But in reference to the rights of the people, there's no sin, but still there's compensation. Still there's compensation. So here he's saying that in terms of the things that are haram, connected to the rights of Allah, then there's no blame on the person. If they did that thing due to ignorance, or due to forgetfulness, or due to being compelled. As far as the rights of the human beings, then their being responsible to compensate doesn't go away. Even though, yani they're pardoned in terms of a sin being against them. There's no sin against them, but they still have to compensate. So the Shaykh says, all of those things that Allah has made haram, the sin against the person for doing it is lifted. It is as though they never did it. And that includes everything that a person does from the things that Allah made haram related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Shaykh mentions examples. He mentions 13 or 14 examples. We're not going to have time to mention 13 or 14 of them. Some of them are a little lengthy and some of them are shorter. We'll try to mention some of them in each category of what he talks about here. And again, keeping in mind that this hadith deals with any four areas that we have to pay attention to. One, the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. Any distinguishing between the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. Two, the second area that we also have to make a distinction in is those things that Allah made haram and those things that Allah made obligatory. Yani the commandments and the prohibitions. That there's also a difference between them. So he gives some examples from all of these different areas, and we should yani benefit from the examples that he has given here. He says, from the benefits of this hadith, after he mentioned that the things that are haram, if a person did it due to those things in reference to the rights of Allah, then there's no blame on them. But as far as the rights of the people, yani a person is still responsible to compensate. The first example he gives is the example of a person who made a mistake, and Allah doesn't punish them. He doesn't call them to account for it. He said a man is speaking, talking, while he's in the prayer, thinking that talking in the prayer is permissible. Why would he think that talking in the prayer is permissible? That ignorance, because he doesn't know. So that's the point. He doesn't know. He made a mistake because he didn't know. So this person is talking in the prayer, thinking that it's permissible. He said this doesn't invalidate his prayer. لِأَنَّهُ جَاهِلٌ, because he's ignorant. So he made a mistake. He committed a sin, but not intentionally. The Shaykh then says, and it's kind of lengthy, he says that this actually came, this example came in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Muawiyah ibn Hakim radiyallahu anhu, that he entered the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a person sneezed and said, yani said what? Alhamdulillah. And then yani Muawiyah said, Ya rahmukallah. And the people, the companions, started looking at him like with the eye like, what is this guy doing? We're in prayer and he's talking. And he looked back at them and he said something to them back. And then they started telling him, like, shut up, be quiet, you can't talk in the prayer. In the end of the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ called him, and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he said, that I never saw a teacher like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He didn't scold me, he didn't hit me, he didn't, yani, he taught me. He taught me. And this hadith, the Shaykh says, is the proof of what? That a person did something mistakenly, not knowing, and Allah didn't call him to account, and Allah didn't make him make the prayer all over again. And the prayer was valid. That's the point. The second example that the Shaykh gives is an example of forgetfulness. He said, another example, a man is praying, Somebody asks permission to enter. Yani they knock on his door. And he says, tafadhal. Yani enter. He said, enter. He forgot that he was praying. This does not invalidate his prayer. لِأَنَّهُ نَاسٍ وَلَمْ يَتَعَمَّدْ الْإِثْمِ. Because what? He was forgetful. He didn't intend to commit a sin, but he did it out of forgetfulness. So his prayer didn't become invalid, and there's no sin against him. This is an example of what? That which is in reference to a person who did something that's not allowed, but he did it due to forgetfulness, and Allah doesn't hold it against him, and the act of worship also didn't become invalid. The third example he gives is from the third category, that is a person being compelled to do something. He said a person is compelled to eat during the daytime in the month of Ramadan. Somebody forces him to eat, and he eats. And this is real. And this happens today in some places, particularly it's known that it happens to the Muslims in China, that they force them not to fast. They force them to eat, and they imprison them and put them in concentration camps and torture them. And he said that a person is forced to eat in Ramadan, compelled to eat, so he ate. He said this does not invalidate his fast. لِأَنَّهُ مُكْرَهٌ, because he is compelled against his will. It doesn't invalidate his fast, and there's no sin against him. The Shaykh makes a note here. He said, however, it is a condition in the case of a person who is being compelled that the one who is compelling him actually has the ability to force him to do it. Meaning that they have the ability to do what they're threatening him with. Not just somebody saying, you better do this or else, and they don't really have the ability to make you do anything. The fourth example the Shaykh gives is also, and he somewhat detailed, just try to summarize it. He says, the fourth example, a person who's fasting, and he thinks that the sun has set, and then it becomes clear to him that the sun didn't set. And this is like a person who heard the adhan, and he thought that it was the adhan in his place, in his city or his town. And he ate, and then it became clear to him that it wasn't the adhan for him. And like a person is fasting in Ramadan, and somebody's adhan on their telephone goes off in the masjid, and it's not time for Maghrib. And people eat because they thought it's time for Maghrib. Then their fast is not invalidated and there is no sin against them. He said, and this came in a hadith similar to this, and that is the hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari from Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. She said that they were fasting in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was a cloudy day, and they thought the sun had set, and they broke their fast. And then the clouds went away and they realized that the sun had not been set, and the Prophet ﷺ did not order them to make up that day of fasting. He did not order them to make up the day of fasting. The Shaykh goes into some detail concerning this. The point is though what? That here is an example of the case in which any people did something mistakenly. And therefore, there's no sin against them and their fast was not invalidated. Okay, then the Shaykh gives some more examples, but for the sake of time, I want to skip to a couple of other points before we close. And the Shaykh goes on to say, and like I said, this lengthy, I think his explanation of this particular hadith is pages, 7 or 8 pages, I don't remember now. He said, we have mentioned in the beginning that this is in reference to the rights of Allah. Yani that what we were talking about is in reference to the rights of Allah. As far as the rights of the human beings, then their right is not yani dropped, it's not removed. Rather, a person is still responsible to compensate them, even though there's no sin against the person who does that, in reference to the rights of the human beings. And he gives a couple of examples of this. I'm just going to mention one of them. He said, example of this is a man who takes a animal, like a sheep or a goat or a lamb, and he thinks that it's his animal. And so he slaughters it, and he eats it, and then later on it becomes clear to him that it didn't really belong to him. It belonged to somebody else. So even though there's no sin against him, he's what? He's still responsible to compensate the person for their property, because this involves the rights of the human beings. So there's no sin against that person because they didn't do it intentionally. They did it, what? Mistakenly, by mistake, due to ignorance, because they thought something that wasn't so. After this, the Shaykh goes on, and like I said, he mentioned a few examples, but like for the sake of time, he says also this hadith is general in everything that's from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those things that are prohibited. As far as the things that we are commanded with by Allah, then there's a difference between them. The Shaykh is saying what? that what we have been talking about is in reference to things that Allah has prohibited, the haram. As far as those things that He has commanded, He said, doing that deed, or even making it up later, yani, is still upon the person. They must do it. Even though there's no sin against them, because they delayed it, or whatever, if they had an excuse to do so. So there's no sin against the person, but the thing that Allah has commanded, if they left it off due to forgetfulness or other than that, they're still responsible to do it. It still has to be performed. He said, this is like, first example he gave is an example of a mistake that a person makes. A person who eats from the meat of the camel. And he is in wudu. And he doesn't know that eating the, and this is an issue about which there's difference of opinion and fiqh, but in any case, yani, this is the opinion of some of the scholars, based on a clear yani, hadith. He said, the person is in wudu and he eats the meat of the camel. He doesn't know that eating the meat of the camel is an invalidator of a person's wudu. So he prays. That person, when he came to know his error, he's required to go back and make wudu again, and he's required to make the salat again. It doesn't go away, even though there's no sin against him, but nonetheless he still has to do, this is the difference between the things that Allah has commanded and the things that Allah has prohibited. Things that Allah prohibited, person did it, it's done, it's finished, there's no sin against them. As far as that which Allah commanded, and the person forgot to do it, or for some reason left it off, it still has to be done. Sheikh says, so based on this we say that the person abandoned something obligatory, it is necessity that they have to bring it. The second example he gave, and he gave several examples, he said the person who forgot to perform the salat. And the Prophet in a hadith he said, whoever slept, or slept past the time of the salat, or they forgot it, then they must perform it when they remember. So the person is excused for having delayed the prayer, but they are not excused from making up the prayer. They still have to make up the prayer. The third example he gave is the example of a person who was ignorant. He said he prayed and he didn't perform the prayer well. This is the hadith of the man who performed the prayer badly. The Prophet ﷺ told him, go back and pray for you haven't prayed. And that happened three times until the person said, I don't know any other way to pray. Teach me. And the Prophet ﷺ taught him how to pray. He didn't, yani, order that man to make up the prayers that he missed before when he was praying in that same manner. However, he did order him to make up that prayer on the spot. So the person, yani, due to ignorance, did something wrong. They didn't perform the prayer properly. The Prophet ﷺ said, you got to make it up. Because that's from the things that Allah made obligatory. It has to be done. It doesn't just go away because you didn't know, or because you forgot, or whatever reason. It doesn't go away, you still have to do it. However, the Shaykh mentions here in a lengthy discussion, however, he didn't order him to make up the prayers before that. And in that lengthy discussion, he says that the scholars differ about, yani, is a person excused from those things that they did in the past, absolutely, or is it only if they were not muqassir in it, meaning that, yani, their mistake or their error was because they just didn't have any way to know any better. Or the person had a way to know better, but they didn't take advantage of it. Yani, a person just says, I don't want to know, I don't need to know, and then they do stuff wrong, are they accountable? There are two opinions concerning this. It seems as though the Shaykh's opinion is that if a person is muqassir, yani, the reason why they're in error, the reason why they didn't know is because they just were neglectful, then they are responsible. They are still responsible, and Allah knows best. The final point that I want to make, the Shaykh mentions in reference to the issue of zakat. And this is very important. He said it's obligatory. This is something that's obligatory on a person. If a person left it off, and it's connected to the rights of the people, like zakat, a person didn't pay zakat for some years, for whatever reason, forgetfulness, ignorance, they didn't know, whatever, it doesn't go away. Because that's the right of the people who are entitled to the zakat, and they still have to pay it even if years went by. And then the Shaykh closes, the final point we want to say, he said that in these matters a person should look at these events, and a person did something mistakenly or out of forgetfulness or out of being compelled. He said there are two ways to look at it. He said we can look at it, yani, if the person has not made any effort to do what's right or to know what's right, then yani we should yani look at them yani with an eye of concern, because yani this is neglectfulness. But if the person didn't have any way to know, they were not neglectful, then we should look at them with the eye of mercy. He said our Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, yani the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thamin's teacher, he said, may Allah have mercy upon him. He used to say, in the issues in which there's difference of opinion, masal al-khilafiyya, If the person had done something and the matter is done and it's finished, then don't take the more strict opinion and apply it to them. It's done now. But rather, in that situation, take the easier opinion for them and remind them not to do it again. And this is a very important point. Yani people did something wrong, especially, and it happens in Hajj all the time. After the Hajj, people say, I did this, that, and other, and it was all wrong. The Shaykh said that a person should, if there's differences of opinion, should give them the easier opinion and make it easy on people, because the matter is already finished. It's already finished. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any comments, inshallah, after the salat, we're going to sit for a few minutes for those who are able to stay, and we can have some discussion at that point. If there's any correction, we'll take it now before we pray.